When Katrina hit, Nolan Grady had taught math for more than 30 years.
And then what I would do, I would align my rolls up with the light turn.
Grady's been doing this since 1973, when fresh out of college, the central office sent him to O. Perry Walker High School. There he encountered a sea of white faces. Schools back then were required to desegregate both students and staff. White and black teachers for white and black students. But Walker's principal already had a black teacher, and one was all that he wanted.
He said, well, I'm going to call central office and tell them that I don't need you. It was just the way he said it.
But when the lone black teacher left, Grady was summoned back.
He needed a black teacher. And so I came back over here. I've been at Walker ever since 1973.
Over the years, white students and teachers fled the public schools, and Walker became a very different place. Public schools became a major employer of the city's growing black middle class. They came to enroll almost entirely black students. But Katrina changed things. Grady evacuated with his mother to Dallas. Just a couple months after the storm, he heard a few schools would soon reopen. There might be a job. So he and his mom packed up the car and headed back home.
Housing was real tight. I mean, you could hardly find an apartment or anything or a house to rent.
Or it turned out, a job. Shortly after Grady returned that fall, Walker was turned into a charter school. If he hoped to resume teaching, Grady would have to reapply.
So it was just like, this is Nolan Grady. Boom. Nobody knows anything about him at all. He hasn't been teaching at all. And he has no job. And we want to know why he wants to work for us.
But Grady got along well with Walker's new principal. She told him the city's long struggling schools needed to do better.
She said, Grady, I'm asking you, would you come along on this journey with me and help me do what we should have done for our kids prior to Katrina?
Grady, now in his 60s, said yes.
And I like the idea that we have our own autonomy as an individual school. That was one of the reasons why I said, you know, I come along on this journey.
At Walker, which after a merger is now Landry Walker, most of the students are still non-white and low-income. They describe Grady as tough, dedicated, and very funny.
Man, Mr. Good, that's my favorite teacher right there. That man is smart, he know what he's doing, he know how to teach, he do it right.
That's Damian Pickett. Grady's decades of experience and deep knowledge of New Orleans help him connect with students.
Well, I'm a product of the public schools. I think that's important. I understand the neighborhoods where they come from.
Grady likes the autonomy of charter schools, but he worries not enough of their new teachers share common roots with the kids. It's that connection that keeps him coming to work every day.
I look like I'm going to be on this journey for a little while until I decide to hang up this. It's no longer chalkboard, this dry eraser marker. When I feel like I've done enough, then I'll hang it up. But I feel I still have a few more good years left in me, and the journey is not complete. I believe we're halfway. But it's still a long ways to go.
Grady teaches at a school with dozens of veteran black educators. At many New Orleans schools, they are a much smaller group. Tulane University's Education Research Alliance has been studying teacher demographics. They've found that of the 4,600 teachers who taught in the public schools before Katrina, 20% or just over 900 remain. Grady, in other words, is one of few gray-haired teachers in the city's schools. Some have died, others never returned to New Orleans, and some struggle to get rehired in the city's new education landscape.
We've seen fresh blood in the classroom with new faces.
Luis Miron directs the Institute for Quality and Equity in Education at Loyola University. He gives the changes mixed reviews.
There have been significant unintended negative consequences on black educators, especially veteran teachers.
Basically, it's harder for them to get a job. As for the impact on students, it's difficult to quantify. Students may benefit from the new energy and ideas, but they've lost teachers who look like them and come from a similar background. Many of those who opened new charter schools after Katrina were white and young and not from New Orleans. The percentage of black teachers dropped from about 71% in 2005 to just under 50% last year. That's according to Tulane's new data. Some of these shifts appear to be leveling off. Teach for America, for instance, is trying to recruit more non-white teachers. When it comes to experience, over the same time period, the percentage of teachers with more than 20 years in the classroom fell from 37% to 15%.
I started teaching when I was 21 years old. I never really had any other a job in any other area. It was the only thing I felt I knew how to do.
When Katrina struck, Charisse Harrison Nelson had been teaching for close to 25 years. Exiled in Houston and then a New Orleans suburb, she didn't think too much about the mass firing.
I guess I thought it was a temporary situation. I didn't think it was really the end. And I was so busy trying to survive that I was trying to survive.
Harrison Nelson is not just an educator. She's a cultural leader. She is a Mardi Gras Indian big queen and the daughter of now deceased Donald Harrison, a legendary big chief. The Mardi Gras Indians spend months sewing elaborate beaded suits, an homage to Native Americans who assisted blacks during slavery. For many, they represent the heart and soul of the city's black culture. Before Katrina, Harrison Nelson used the Indians in lessons for gifted students at Aretha Castle Elementary, among other roles.
They learned the music, they created their own songs, chants. They learned all about sewing, what had to happen in a suit.
After Katrina, Harrison Nelson tried to teach in New Orleans. She lasted briefly at what she calls a poorly run middle school. But she tore a rotator cuff when a child pulled a chair out from under her. She never went back. First there was Katrina, then the mass firing, the chaos of reopening schools, the injury. Then 4 years ago, she found out she had cancer. It was simply too much.
It's not for me. I'm a cancer survivor, and I have to have a life. I have to have a life.
Over the years, charter schools have flourished, including some where most teachers are under the age of 35. Harrison Nelson grew concerned teachers weren't given enough creative freedom, and she also felt that teachers over a certain age simply weren't welcome.
Over 50, probably over 40.
So Harrison Nelson retired just before the age of 50. She now lives on $1,400 a month.
And I don't get a lot of money. I really don't. And if I went back to work, I would get twice as much money, probably three times as much money. But quality of life is worth something, more than money.
Harrison Nelson still works with children, but mostly as a volunteer. In January, she helped organize a Children's MLK Day event at the city's McKenna Museum of African American Art. After singing a staid rendition of Happy Birthday to the Civil Rights Leader, she and her son encouraged the kids to try it the Mardi Gras Indian way. The children received crowns, books, and goodie bags, and they learned songs from the civil rights movement. Harrison Nelson expected to teach much longer, but she has no regrets about her new path, and she's glad she's not part of the new classroom system.
I think that it's a change of guard, and they think they have a better way of doing it.
For veteran teachers, the new charter schools have been a mixed bag. Some have found hope, others only frustration. Meanwhile, every year, New Orleans schools gain a fresh crop of energetic young teachers, and they lose a little more of the wisdom that comes from experience. For WWNO and the Teacher Project, I'm Sarah Carr.